Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Ottawa, Canada, and in 1981, at age 18, was drafted second overall into the NHL by the Los Angeles Kings hockey team. He played 11 seasons, and on February 7th, 1992, in his 607th professional game, he shattered his spine and was paralyzed from the waist down. After rehabbing for 13 years, he now walks, runs, and plays hockey again. A motivational speaker and author, his name, Doug Smith. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR. I'm Jack Rasul. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Doug Smith, motivational and author of The Trauma Code. Doug, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's an honor to be here, Jack. Thank you very much.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Oh, of course. My mom, when she was 8 months pregnant, just before I was born, my father decided to go to an Ottawa Rough Rider football game and then go to the airport afterwards and leave and never come back. And so my mom at 19 was left with having me, and she had to move into her parents' house in Ottawa. And then... Yeah, I was born, and when I started to learn how to walk, what happened was they had to put me in ankle to hip leg braces like Forrest Gump, because I had soft tissue deformities in my legs, and I had pigeon toed, and there wouldn't have been a doctor in the world that you would have been able to find that would have said I would have made it to the National Hockey League by the time I was 18. Those leg braces came off, and when those leg braces came off, I started running. It was, the Forrest Gump movie is I feel it when I watch that movie because I started running and competing, and my mom built my belief system because it was just her and I. And so she built my belief system to the point where I thought I could do anything.
You were a great athlete. You were a golfer, tennis player, lacrosse, and hockey. How was it you chose hockey?
Well, I think parents have a big, a big role in that, in deciding, where a player goes and at what age he goes there. How long do they let them play these competitive sports at a high level? I also raced downhill for Camp Fortune, a ski resort here in Ottawa. And so they removed me slowly from skiing because of the danger. I was never allowed to play contact football in high school, even though they wanted me to play for the team. They guided me. I just wanted to play everything. I would have gone and played everything. I would have dove in head first because, the level of belief I had, built by my mother during those very, very important years, really removed the fear gene from me. It removed it, so I could go up against anything. So sports was a release for me. And when I was 13, I was diagnosed with ADHD and OCD. And my parents had to make an important decision. Were they going to put me on medication like Ritalin, or were they going to put me in meditation? And my mom took me to meditation classes. So I was playing sports and I was doing transcendental meditation. And now, all these years later, it's coming to pass that meditation is a competitive advantage.
We're talking to Doug Smith. He played 11 seasons for the Kings, Sabres, Oilers, Canucks, and Penguins. So you had a lot of coaches, but the one that I think made the biggest impression on you was a man that got into a Hockey Hall of Fame just a couple years ago. You played for him at 16, Brian Kilray. Can you talk about him?
I was the first player in the Ottawa District Hockey Association to go through this program and make it to the NHL. And when I was a little kid playing for the Baby Raiders and the Adam team and the Pee Wee team, Brian Kilray was involved in the development of the ODHA, the Ottawa District Hockey Association. And he wanted to see Ottawa as a centerpiece for hockey, and he accomplished that during that period of time. Steve Yzerman, Bobby Smith, Doug Smith, Dennis Potvin. You know, Brian did things that nobody else could do. He was a player's coach, and all coaches today to be successful have to behave more like him than they did in the old school days. So Brian is a pioneer of hockey from many different perspectives, but I would look at him as a pioneer from a behavioral perspective. He built my belief like my mom built my belief. You know, he took care of me. He was honest with me. He told me when I shouldn't be saying things that, you know, were inappropriate. He was more than just a hockey coach, right? And everybody that's ever played for him, as long as he didn't cross Brian, as long as he didn't cross him, every player that ever played for him, they have his number. They have his number. They would call him today, and so would I.
In 1981, at age 18, you were the second overall draft pick in the NHL by the Los Angeles Kings. Doug Smith, how did you find out about that?
That period in my life, I was so focused on having fun. You know, during 15, 16, 17, 18, you know, my parents built this thing around me that allowed me to just go and have fun. And I lived on the Ottawa River, and I played on the Ottawa River. And I, you know, I skated at the outdoor rink across the street. I was just allowed to have fun. And if we're not having fun, I don't think we can achieve the level that we need to achieve. I don't even recall personally going to the draft in 1981 in Montreal at the Montreal Forum, because I was just so, you know, I wanted to get back and play for my Ottawa 67s team, you know, and then I wanted to go to the outdoor rink, and, you know, I didn't know what was going on at that time in my life. There's no possible way that an 18-year-old could know that. And so, you know, when I got to Los Angeles, I learned the hard way. And in 1981, it was the first year that they went to the 18-year-old draft. And so you can imagine the emotional trauma that I experienced as an 18-year-old in the National Hockey League.
We're talking to Doug Smith. When we come back, we'll ask him what it was like to go from living at home in Ottawa at age 18 to suddenly the first-round pick of the Los Angeles Kings and living in L.A. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasul. We're with Doug Smith. Doug, you sign with the Kings, you go from living at home in Ottawa to suddenly a signing bonus, and you're in L.A. What happened?
Well, you know, what happened was the L.A. Kings had traded for this draft pick years before. So Dale Hawerchuk was drafted first. He went to an expansion team. I was drafted second. I went to L.A. because they had traded for this a long time ago, but they had finished first in the league in points the year before. And then Bobby Carpenter went to Washington, and Ron Francis went to Hartford, all expansion teams. And so I was put into a system where they were already set, and they wanted me to stay there. But there was a lot of stuff going on in L.A. at the time that people weren't aware of. Like, the L.A. Kings didn't know what to do with an 18-year-old, right? It was the sign of the times. And so they put me in the Airport Park Hotel beside the Los Angeles Forum, which is a black area of town in Inglewood, California, by the racetrack. And they left me there for about 2 months. And they didn't advise me. I would leave the Forum and walk across the street to a dangerous, to a hotel. And I'd stay there. I go back. And what they didn't do is they didn't help me with my finances. So I went and bought a Porsche Cash, a nice black turbo Porsche. And then one day they told me I could find a place to live. And they didn't give me any guidance, so I had to find my own way. And then the head of security saw I was struggling a little bit in my, you know, and what was going on, and he was worried about me. So, you know, the head of security for the Kings gave me a loaded 38 To keep underneath the seat of my Porsche, underneath the front seat of my Porsche. I'd never had a gun in my life. I'd never had a handgun, but it sure was cool to have it. So I was driving a black turbo Porsche, living in Inglewood, California, with a loaded 38 underneath my seat playing for the Los Angeles Kings. So, you know, this whole thing continued for years. The emotional trauma that I experienced during that time and the conditioning I experienced was very difficult to unravel.
Wayne Gretzky, he wasn't the biggest, he wasn't the fastest, he didn't have the hardest shot. What made him so unbelievable?
Well, you know, I now know very clearly because of the work that I do today, Wayne had an incredible gift called spatial awareness. His spatial capacity was so incredible. He could turn around and take a snapshot of what was happening in one of the fastest games in the world, hockey. He could turn around, take a snapshot and see everybody, and then turn around, play with the puck for about 3 seconds and know where everybody was. Like, he only had to look once. And then he could map the field of play and see what speed people were going. He could measure all that, and then he'd flip the puck to where the person was going to be without even looking. And today we call that spatial capacity because we can cultivate that inside our brain. We can speed that up. There are mechanisms by which we can do that today. And that is strongly supported by neuroscience. So now, after being face-to-face with Wayne for over 70 games, I played against him. And I always tell kids that when I speak at schools that, you know, imagine how many points he would have got if I wasn't covering him. He only got 2,000. He would have got even more if I wasn't covering him. And that always gets a good laugh.
Every sport has a trophy. And the Stanley Cup is the hockey trophy. It's unique in all the sports. How so, Doug?
Getting to the top is the objective in professional sports. You're conditioned from a young age to try to be the best in the world. And unfortunately, that doesn't really scale. But while you're there, you're conditioned to be the best in the world. What I learned after I broke my neck, when I shattered my spine, and I learned this very quickly, and I'll tell you the story if you ask, everything just changed for me instantly. So I realized when I hit the boards that it wasn't about being the best in the world. It was about being the best for the world. And that was the realization I had that we can discuss in a little bit.
Okay, that was February 7th, 1992, your 607th professional game. You hit the boards and you shattered the fifth and sixth vertebrae in your neck. What do you remember about that moment?
I became aware. As an adult, for the first time in my life, I became aware. I became aware of the times that I had hurt other people and that I had wronged other people or I treated other people badly, whether it was physical or emotional. When I hit the boards and my neck broke, I knew there was something bad that happened. So I made a pact with myself when I was lying on the ice because I knew it was really bad. I made a pact that if I get out of this situation, that if I survived, I would go back and I would apologize and I would ask for forgiveness.
Speaking of, go ahead.
And I did. I've done that. I spent 8-9 years just going to back to L.A., back to Buffalo, back to Edmonton, and I looked up people and I talked to Pat Quinn and I apologized to just different individuals that I remember. That I remembered on the ice that night, you know, and so it wasn't about being the best in the world anymore for me. It wasn't about trying to achieve a trophy. It was now about trying to be the best for the world, to go back and to help other people and to ask for forgiveness.
So you're paralyzed from the chest down. And speaking of being aware, your wife is 27, Patty. You have a 2-year-old and a 1-week-old daughter. How did Patty ever get through that?
It was a 9-hour drive for her when I broke my neck, and she showed up with our little baby girl. And at the time I broke my neck, my wife was actually pregnant. And it wasn't until the third surgery, which happened, these surgeries happened in succession over about a three-month period of time. For the third surgery I was having, my wife was also due that same week to have our second baby. And so she was induced to have the child a week before my surgery. And after that surgery, I woke up in ICU, a quadriplegic. So I lost my arms, my legs, my bladder, and my bowels. So I was not able to feed myself. I woke up in ICU. That my neck had been broken in over 200 places. So you can imagine. So my neck is broken in over 200 places, just shattered, the fifth and sixth cervical vertebrae. And all the ligaments in the back of my neck are torn. So if you look at pictures on my website, or if you watch the video on my website at system438.com, you'll see I fell to the ice with my head on my hands. I'll show you the video. It's the only video in the world of a professional hockey player shattering his spine going into the end boards full speed. And you can watch it on my website. And you can see the story, you know, in a 3.5-minute video. And I hope your listeners go and watch it. I appreciate it.
If you want to see it, www.system438.com. For 29 years, you could do anything. You were the best. And suddenly, you can't do anything. You wanted to commit suicide. Doug, why didn't you?
Well, you can't. When you're quadriplegic, you can't commit suicide because you can't. You hold your breath until you pass out.
Why didn't you give up?
I did. That's why I wanted to commit suicide. You know, people only want to commit suicide when they're left with only one option. I didn't see any other options. You know, my wife and my mother both, but my wife Patty, you know, she stepped in and took care of me, and by taking care of me, I mean she removed my mother from the room because my mother wanted to stay there 24/7, and I needed to learn to do stuff on my own, and that wasn't happening for the first week, 2 weeks of my paralysis. It just wasn't happening, and my wife, she didn't have to sit me down because I was lying down. She said, I can't get through this.
We're talking to Doug Smith, and today he's an author, businessman, motivational speaker, and he's playing hockey again. He's a miracle. When we come back, we're going to find out how he did it. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Doug Smith, who on February 2nd, 1992, shattered his spine in a game and was paralyzed. Doug, you wrote the book, The Trauma Code. Why that title?
My life has been about high performance, and I believe everybody in the world wants to perform better. I think it's innate in us, because it's your manner or quality of functioning. And so everything that I look at in life is based on improving performance, and mental or physical. And if you're going to look at that, you have to really understand what the thing that hurts your performance is. Makes sense, right, Jack?
Absolutely.
Yeah, why not look at what hurts our performance? So what we've discovered, what I've discovered, and the system that I built is simply designed to help you understand and see when you're hurting your performance. When trauma is the reason you're doing things, when trauma has caused a disruption in your brain and you're behaving in ways, but you don't know why, you can't explain why. So if you can be aware of when you've been traumatized over your life emotionally, my work today is primarily about emotional trauma, though if you use it, it helps you physically.
Can you talk to us about the miracle we call the brain?
Yes. It's where I spend all my time today. So the subconscious brain is 97% of our human functioning. So what trauma does is when we suffer from an emotional or physical trauma, and there are four types of trauma. There's only four: catastrophic physical, catastrophic emotional, cumulative physical and cumulative emotional. Now, catastrophic physical, you know when you suffer one, you got to get help. Catastrophic emotional, you can't hide it. Cumulative physical, sometimes it's too late, but we know now you shouldn't be banging your head against stuff over and over. And then the last one, the one that we spend the most time on, the one that I educate on, which is cumulative emotional trauma, because it looks like carbon monoxide to the brain. It can't see it. It can't smell it. All of a sudden, you wake up and you hate Monday mornings. You can't wait for the weekends. You hate your, like, you don't know what's going on in your life. So what trauma does, any of these traumas, they cause a disruption between your subconscious brain, which controls you, and your conscious thought. And when that happens, your subconscious brain just runs all over you. Where does an 800-pound gorilla sit when it comes in the room, Jack?
Anywhere it wants.
Anywhere it wants, and that's your subconscious brain. So here's how you tame it. Here's how I had to go through this process myself. I use this system myself. It works every time. It's helped thousands of people. It is the leading systematic approach to mental performance, and here's how it works. Your subconscious brain has three priorities. That's all, just three. And if you just focus on these three for a minute, I'll give you the behaviors that you can cultivate that feed these priorities. Here they are: meeting basic needs, clarity of thought, and helping other people. And I can break those down into their scientific components and look at them from a physics standpoint. I can't do that on the radio. But there are eight specific behaviors that feed the three priorities of the subconscious brain, and here are the behaviors. Awareness. I became aware. You have to become aware. Number two, purpose. You have to develop a purpose in your life, or you're going to flounder. Number three, motivation. Understand the self-determination theory. That's motivation. Focus. You have to have focus to be successful, to really tap into high performance. And you can cultivate focus, and focus is a competitive advantage. Number five, belief in self. You must build belief in self, and you have to put yourself in an environment where other people are building your belief, or you won't be able to compete at high levels. Trust. You know, Jack, if I trust you, I can rapidly internalize your belief in me. Mirror neurons, the study of mirror neurons at Parma University. We now know that the brain extends beyond the confines of the skull, Jack. So if you believe in me and I feel you do, I can leverage that trust. I can use it as a competitive advantage. Asking for help is number seven. I thought that asking for help was a sign of weakness. Asking for help is a sign of strength. Don't let anybody fool you. Asking for help is a sign of strength. Emotional control is number eight. It's the hardest one for me. Controlling emotions. Here's how I control my emotions in a business setting today. I ask myself two questions before I go into the building or before I go into the boardroom. I ask myself this first question: how do I feel? And then I listen for the answer. And then I ask myself the second question: how do I feel about the other people in the room? And I answer the question in my head, and then I enter. And that reduces my concern about losing emotional control in that environment by a radical percentage. I won't get into that today. But if you use those eight behaviors and you feed the three priorities of the subconscious brain, what will happen is you'll get the subconscious brain working for you as opposed to risking that it's working against you. So that's how the system works, Jack.
We're talking to Doug Smith. If you want to learn more, www.system438.com. You now understand why it's System 438. And also, you can look at a TED Talk that Doug gave on April 26, 2016, entitled How to Improve Mental Performance, System 438. Doug, if there's a listener tonight that's really down in the dumps and says, I don't believe in myself anymore. I've hit a patch, and I had so much confidence, and now it's all gone. What would you say to that listener?
That they can turn it around in an instant. Stop looking at the physical part of it. When I was in Los Angeles, I was a healthy scratch in my fourth year because I was destroyed emotionally. So I was a healthy scratch in L.A. They weren't dressing me anymore. And on February 1st, I got traded to the Buffalo Sabres. Finally, they traded for me. And Scotty Bowman, the winningest coach of all time, was the coach of the Buffalo Sabres. He picked me up at the airport in Buffalo. And when I got in the car with Scotty Bowman, destroyed emotionally, he wasn't even dressing in L.A., Scotty told me that he had been trying to trade for me for 4.5 years, and he had always believed I could be one of the best players in the National Hockey League. You know, next night I went out. He started me at center ice. He started me that next night. I scored 13 seconds into my first game. I was first star of that game. My line had 27 points in my first 5 games. Look up the stats. Mike Foligno, Paul Sear, Doug Smith, top line in the National Hockey League in February. I was a healthy scratch in L.A. just weeks earlier, and now I'm on the top line in the National Hockey League. That has nothing to do with my physical ability. This is a mental exercise. It's never been a physical exercise. It's a mental exercise. So that's what I would tell people. The brain can turn it around instantly. Pick up the phone and call me. My communicate with me on the website. Everything you need to get is there. I'll help you turn it around quickly. Just give me a call.
Doug, 18 years old, you signed to play with the Los Angeles Kings. Then you get paralyzed 11 years later. This is very profound stuff you're talking about. How did you go from being an 18-year-old hockey player to this today?
I've fallen and gotten up. If you look at my LinkedIn profile, you'll see that I was the president of a manufacturing company and that I helped with the deregulation of the .ca domain as a technology guy. I helped build what is the largest domain registrar in Canada, and I was the director of Canadian sales for LinuxCare during the Linux revolution in the late 90s. My customers were HP and Motorola and Nortel, you know, and so I just keep going at it, right? You got to keep putting one foot in front of the other and get up and go and help people, right? Get out there. You know, and I didn't see that when I was an 18-year-old because I wasn't conditioned for the long term. Professional sports conditions athletes for the short term because there's a clock, there's a confined playing area, there's no long-term approach. We got to win this year. It's all about the Stanley Cup. If you carry that into your personal life or you think that in your personal life, that's going to hurt your performance in society.
We're talking to Doug Smith, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760. WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Doug Smith, author, businessman, motivational speaker, community leader, former NHL hockey star. Today, Doug, who are your customers?
The who's who of emergency response and military, everybody in that space right now, because what I deliver is a competitive advantage. Professional sports teams are starting to knock on the door. Financial management. I will speak in David Suzuki's spot this year. Last year at this conference that I'm speaking at in November, David Suzuki spoke. And I went and I met him. But this year I'm speaking about what we're talking about here to the Financial Management Institute of Canada, which is all the financial managers across the federal government across our whole country. 5,000 delegates I will address and share with them that this is a mental exercise, that the subconscious brain controls them. And then we begin to look at the structure of the organization so that that their ability to audit doesn't slow down industry's capability on the business front. You know, we got to speed up the process in financial management, not slow it down, but the trauma and their resistance to change is hurting that process. So I break down their resistance to change and I make it okay for them to change to a faster, better way.
We're talking to Doug Smith, www.system438.com. If there's a listener, Doug, who's just been paralyzed, what do you say to him or her?
There's two things when I get called into the hospital, and I do. I get called in by the Ottawa Hospital from time to time, catastrophic physical injuries. There's only two steps that I give the patient and their family, and they can do whatever they want with these two steps, but if they don't do them, I can't take them to step number three. The first step is get allergy testing right away, because if you have allergies inside your body or you're putting food in your body that you're allergic to, it will help, it will hurt your performance. At a cellular level, at a neurological level, sometimes you have allergies you're not even aware of, but you got to get rid of that inflammation, because that can be deadly to your recovery, for the central nervous system to recover. And then the second thing is it's time to take an anatomy course. And all you got to do is get all your medical records of the physical damage that's been done inside your body, wherever it is, and look at it. Look at it. Ask people how you make it better. Ask the doctor how it gets better. I want your brain to understand how your body and brain gets better, how your central nervous system will heal itself, and then don't do things that hurt its performance. That's all. I give them those two steps. Allergy testing, get all your records and the pictures that they took during the, you know, time in X-ray on your computer or on your mom's or dad's computer, and look at it, and then begin to understand how the thing pieces itself together. Because our body and our brain is designed to heal the body. That's what it's for. It heals the body. It leads the body. Harvard University, Stanford, USC, everywhere I go, they know this now. So the population just needs to understand the brain leads and heals. So whatever the brain needs, do it.
We're speaking to Doug Smith, www.system438.com. Speaking of the family, Doug, what advice do you give to the caregivers, the loved ones?
Well, belief in self is a core. It's a core piece to this whole puzzle. And, you know, if a person's paralyzed and they believe in themselves because they have a purpose, you know, life is good. And so if you're part of the family and you're bickering in front of somebody that's been paralyzed, or you're arguing with the doctor, or it's not a nurturing environment. You know, I've been to the University of Pennsylvania. I've lectured there to the neurology part of that and of the university and the brain repair center, and they know that when you put a rat in a toxic environment, you know, when you the stem cells don't grow inside a rat. So if you inject stem cells, put the rat in a toxic environment, the stem cells die. And then you take a rat and you put stem cells in it and you put it in a nurturing environment, and the stem cells grow like weeds. What does that tell you?
You mentioned that you went from trying to be the best in the world to being the best for the world. If there's a listener who's 30, top of his game, you know, making a lot of money, very healthy, who says, Doug, for me, being the best in the world is the way for me to live. What would you say to that listener?
Well, I just simply, today I like to challenge people on scalability, right? You know, like, it's about happiness, inevitably, right? If we have food and we have clarity of thought and we're helping other people, we're happy. So if the model doesn't lead to happiness, if it's an automatic default to unhappiness, right, at a scale of 98%, then why would you go that direction? Like, are you're betting on 2%? It's not a really good investment. I've won the lottery. I won the lottery twice. I made it to the NHL and I recovered from a spinal cord injury. But I don't play the lottery like I did before. It doesn't scale. You know, I got lucky. You know, now I don't play the game of luck. I play the long-term game where I'm, you know, meeting basic needs, focusing on clarity of thought, helping other people, and then cultivating the behaviors in other people as well, and trying to build a sustainable model so that if I want to sleep during the day, people can pick up this information, you know, like anywhere in the world, any time of day, they can grab it off my website or they can ask a question and it can be answered. You know, so I'm busy building that infrastructure to be able to service people that are coming at me. So, you know, that's my purpose today. My purpose is to build something that will sustain itself after I'm gone. I'm not going to be here forever, but I hope this model will be added to in the future.
Doug Smith, you've transformed your life from someone who didn't listen very well to today, a fantastic listener. How did you do that?
Emotional control. Emotional control, really understanding the whole anxiety. When you go to my website, you'll see the video on anxiety and depression. And, you know, I have to keep myself really busy. My wife monitors my behavior. The food that I put in my body is critical. If you saw my diet, it's very repetitive, very the same every day, but very healthy. And I'm not closed to other ideas and concepts, right, that feed the brain. There's all sorts of oils out there, from omega-3s to cannabis oil, that is really nurturing for the brain. So, you know, that's where I spend my time today. I'm happy now when I sit down and discuss things like this with you, because I'm hoping they'll get passed on to other people, and I'm sure they will, Jack. I really appreciate this opportunity.
As our time winds down this evening, what advice would you give to our young listeners, please?
Understand not only high performance and doing all the right things, but think about this. Today, it's not about doing just the right things. Everybody wants to do the right thing. So there's tons of people out there doing right things everywhere. But if you want to be really successful, if you want to reach your stardom today in 2018, you have to do the right thing in the right order. And I'll give you the order. If you've got a bunch of right things you're doing, let me give you the order. You can overlay what you're doing, and it'll just enhance all the things you're doing good in your life. So I'll give you the order. You got to do the right things in the right order to compete, because other people are getting the order. Instead of just looking at doing the right thing, look at doing the right thing in the right order, and you can achieve anything in your life.
The name of the show is With God, Anything is Possible. Doug Smith, a shining example of that. Please keep up the great, great work. God bless.
Thank you.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Believe in yourself.